Welcome to Pod Sing Say, an Avatar The Last Airbender podcast where every week we watch and discuss episodes of Avatar The Last Airbender. I'm your host, Jen, joined by my co-hosts, Steph, Abby, and Nicole. Today we'll be discussing Book 3, Chapter 12, The Western Air Temple. From the Avatar Wiki, Zuko follows Aang and his friends to the Western Air Temple, seeking to join their group. There, he desperately tries to prove to them that he has changed for the better. It is only after Zuko helps save them from Combustion Man that he receives their acceptance as Aang's firebending teacher. However, Katara remains doubtful of Zuko's transformation to good and warns him of the consequences of any treachery that he might execute.
All right. I mean, I don't know. What's not to like about this episode?
Honestly, though.
This is such an iconic episode. So many iconic lines that I forgot were all in this fucking episode. But naturally, the first thing that I have to immediately notice when the episode starts was, like, my brain spiraling when they show the Western Air Temple, which, of course, is, like, constructed on, like, a cliffside upside down. And I was like, the Western Air Temple is ableist. And I was just like, God damn it, Jen. Like, can't you shut up for 2 seconds?
But Teo gets around pretty well.
But Teo, I mean, well, that was, like, again, yeah, so that was my first, like, immediate thought, and then I was just like, well, it makes sense, but then I'm like, oh, so then is the Western Air Temple, like, only for benders? But then, obviously, like, once you get there, it's, like, accessible for the most part, you know?
Every air nomad was a bender.
Confirmed?
Confirmed. It's on the wiki, I'm pretty sure.
How is that a thing?
I read it at some point, and then I never brought it up. Sorry. I think it has to do with, like, how spiritual the air nomad culture is. And I'm pretty sure, now I'm going to Google it because I'm
doubting yourself.
I'm doubting myself.
That makes me not like that explanation more. I was kind of like, well, maybe, you know, the air nation people, of them, only the benders go to the temples and become air nomads.
That's what I assumed.
And the other ones just kind of are there. They travel around. They live in the Earth Kingdom. Maybe, like, you know, like, Chong and his buddies are kind of like some of them. Like,
yeah, that's what I'm saying. I started spiraling because I was like, okay, well, maybe the Western Air Temple, maybe that one is, like, only specifically for benders. Or, you know, it's like, that's the way it's meant. And then obviously they all have access to, like, Air Bison and, like,
I mean,
friends and stuff, so they could get there.
Because Aang did say way back in, like, episode 3 that he was like, well, you have to be an airbender to get to the Air Temple, so obviously the Fire Nation couldn't have been there. And I feel like that's when we had this conversation the first time, like, you know, over a year ago, when we were like...
Yeah, I feel like we've every time they go to a temple, right? Yeah, we're, like, every fucking, here's the fourth one, here we are, like...
There is a citation... It's from an Avatar Spring Break with Mike and Brian, which I assume is
that's weird.
Some sort of interview where they must have confirmed it. It says, okay. Unlike the other nations, the people of the Air Nomads were, without any seen exception, all benders due to the high level spirituality of their people.
I don't like that. Hmm. Shut up, Rick.
That's interesting.
Well, I think it, like, does make sense, though, with, like, the way that the temples, not necessarily the spirituality thing, but, like, the fact that the temples are the way they are.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think that they would have them be so completely inaccessible or, like, difficult to get to if all air nomads weren't airbenders.
Oh, I just don't like that at all. Like, because that's weird. I feel like they made such an effort. Like, I remember early in the show of showing, like, those two twins and, like, one was a bender, one wasn't, because the whole thing was just, like, it's just a genetic trait. And then for everybody to not... Like, I was like, I don't like this.
I just opened the interview, and it's, like, part two of the interview, so this isn't the literal first question that was asked, but they were like, is the Avatar world round or flat?
Oh, my God.
It's round. Lord. It's round. And they're like, why would you even think it's flat? And they're like, well, the kids fly from one pole to the other in a short amount of time, and the season doesn't change at all. And they're like, let's not talk about that.
Logic. Score one for the flat earthers, baby.
I'm going to have to read that.
And then since we're talking about the Western Air Temple, too, from the art
book. Of course, if you look at the map. I'm sorry. I was just like, of course, if you look at the
Nicole's
map.
Nicole's not over it.
The where the air temples are located, if the world is round, which I was assuming it was, but I never thought about it, like, in detail before.
Yeah.
Some of those air temples are, like, right together. On top of each other, aren't they? Like. They're not on opposite ends.
So clearly, Brian designing with a flat earth mentality for a round world. And that's maybe just a human just, like, error.
A huge ocean on the other side.
You flip the map upside down and there's just like blue.
There's oh like other God. Continents yeah, the that we don't know about. Part.
Stop. There's a back to the map. They just never flipped it over. Yeah. Sokka oh the whole God. Time. There's like Sokka. And he's like, what? It's like a whole new series in Avatar Studios is just born.
Oh my God.
You're welcome, Avatar Studios.
No. I was like, let it be known. We said it first.
You heard it here first. But yeah, so going back to the Western Air Temple. It says in the art book, the designers referenced the roof styles of Bhutanese monasteries. I don't know if it's Bhutanese or Bhutanese. It's Bhutanese. I want to say Bhutanese, but...
I would say Bhutanese.
Yes. Bhutanese, yeah.
Do you say Bhutan? I don't know. I say Bhutan.
Yeah, oh, I'm doing the, like, Stewie Griffin thing, the where I'm making the H like a W, like Bhutanese, whip. Like white whip. Whipped cream. Oh, God. But yeah, and they said, in order to make this air temple unique from the other ones, but equally as difficult to access, Brian had the idea that the temples hung upside down from the cliffs. Yeah. So, like, that was that. But yeah, it just immediately, I was just like, how do they, what if you're not a bender? How do you get there? What's happening? How is this accessible?
Mm-hmm. So if you go down on a rope and then you stand on the ground, you are technically upside down.
The buildings are all just upside down.
Yeah. But the buildings are all, it's like the interiors, it's like an optical illusion on the outside.
Yeah.
But the buildings are all still designed like normal, whatever normal means for a building that's built defying gravity.
I did literally write down, it's so cool, but also how does that work?
Yeah, they'd have like, to have had been buddies with the earthbenders. Like.
Yeah, like I really wanted, like, I don't know, there needs to be like a virtual tour or something, like walk.
Like, where are the support beams? Like, how is this?
Walk us through one of those buildings, okay?
Like you literally, you can't lay foundation. So what do you do?
I get the courtyards. We got a good look at those. But I'm like, the buildings.
I mean, I assumed that it was all carved out. Like the, oh my God, what are they called? Pueblos? Like.
Oh, what? No, I don't know if pueblos were carved out. I don't know. I think they were like stacked. But I know what you mean. Yeah.
I don't know enough about architecture.
But then still like, but then how did a bunch of airbenders do that? It's still the same question. But you can't like.
They hired contractors.
They commissioned their earthbender friends.
Maybe.
It's true. Back when the air nomads were alive, people used to be friends with other people from other places.
That's like valid, actually. That would be like a cool story.
Avatar Studios.
Explain.
So many questions.
So right after that, the first thought that I had was, damn, Zuzu, you're such a hoe. So those were kind of the two,
I'm just kind of curious, like, at what point did you have that thought? Like, I'm like what?
As soon as he showed up.
Oh,
literally,
okay.
Like, hello, Zuko here. And I just was like, I just want to punch your face so bad.
Because he first showed up on the rope, but I was like, are you talking about his, like...
No, his, like, pep talk. His pep talk to himself and to that frog.
His speech to the frog.
The badger frog. Animal fact, the badger frog is a furry, hopping around animal that is indigenous to the Western Fire Nation. For trademark purposes, this is not called Animal Crossing because Nintendo made it first. I'm just saying, Janet.
Shots fired. The classic, like, hello, Zuko here. Like.
Yes. Oh my God.
Iconic.
I thought he was breaking the fourth wall for a second. But it's like, oh no, he's just talking to a badger frog like an idiot.
That frog was weird. I never would have picked badger.
Oh my God. I'm imagining that now. Zuko breaking the fourth wall. It's just like, where are we gonna find a firebending teacher? And he's like, hello, Zuko here. The Avatar's looking for a firebending teacher. I'm gonna go try my luck. Like,
like, what is this, Dora the Explorer? Like,
yeah, or like Emperor's New Groove. I was watching it recently. It's like, hey, just a reminder, this me. Movie is about me.
I'm the main character, not him.
Main character energy.
Me.
Oh my God.
Oh God.
And then like the iconic, you know, like, what would Uncle do? Like, you know, you must look within yourself to save yourself from yourself. Only then will your true self reveal itself. Something like that. Yeah. I've been carrying that line inside me for years.
His Azula impersonation was also pretty spot on.
Oh my god, I know. He did it, and then he was like, I guess I'm not that good at impersonations. And I was like, Zuko, you are amazing at impersonations.
Yeah, it's like, that might be the only thing you are actually good at. That and, like, I guess not dying, technically.
Oh my god. Once again, almost dying this episode, and somehow pulling it out.
Unbelievable.
Although he climbed very slowly.
Okay, did he kill Combustion Man? I was confused about
Sokka
that.
Sokka killed Combustion Man.
Sokka killed Combustion
Man.
Because there was no thunder.
Killed himself.
In true Disney villain fashion.
Yeah.
Okay, got it.
Like, he knew he got hit on the head, like, but the hubris, like, made him attack. Another blast.
It's always the hubris, kids. It's
the hubris was strong with him. Like, Zuko, the person who
the
hired
hubris
him
and bravado of it all
was literally like, okay, stop. And he was like, I'm gonna keep fulfilling this contract even if you are not gonna pay me anymore and you don't want me to do it anymore.
Ow.
And you'll pay me double. Because at that point he was like, no, you know what, these little brats got the better of me back in the runaway, and I'm gonna fucking kill them. Like, oh, I don't need your money.
I hurt my ribs laughing at the hubris. I don't know why that's so fucking funny.
Want to write, like, the Greek tragedy of, like, Combustion Man.
It's so true, though. It is always like, our characters did not do the murder. No. They murdered the murderer. Like, you know, it's yeah. Like, they did it themselves. They slipped and fell. They slipped and hung themselves.
I do remember back when we watched The Runaway and, like, Toph hit him in the head with that pebble. And I don't remember who said it, but someone was like, is that how he's going to get defeated? And I was like, yes, but it's cool. And the reason I think it's cool is because this sounds so stupid. Sokka did, like, math
in
his head to figure out the exact, like, trajectory of that boomerang.
Yeah.
Impressive.
That was honestly, like, pretty fucking great.
It's like Sokka's goddamn masters in, like, trigonometry over here.
Yeah, but I agree with Abby, though. I felt like the way, at the end of the fight, the way that they were praising Zuko, like, I had a moment where I was like, wait, did I, like, miss something that, like, he did more than, like, what Sokka fucking did?
I also thought that. And I was like, I don't understand what they're thanking him for. And I still kind of don't, but I was, like, on Reddit, and someone was like, well, at the beginning, he had, like, a clean shot at them. And if Zuko hadn't, like, swung in on the vine and knocked him, he probably would have hit them. But the gang doesn't know that, first of all. So I'm like, so why are they, like, from the gang's perspective, he didn't even really do anything. Because he just was like, I told you to stop it. And he looked so small next to Combustion Man.
Oh my god. Yeah. I literally wrote down, I was like, that's Zuko so funny. Looks like a flailing little child next to Combustion. And then I was like, wait. Zuko is a flailing child next to a grown man, but he's literally a child.
I think Combustion Man is also really tall. Remember, he had to, like, duck down to get into the prison?
Yeah.
He's a large man.
True. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I figured it was because Zuko, like, almost died trying to do this, and it was like, if Zuko was, like, what they were thinking, like, he's just evil and he's just trying to get us yet again. They were like, why did he interfere then and risk his own life doing so? So then they're like, oh, maybe he is good? Feels wrong, but okay, we'll go with it.
I'm just thinking, Combustion Man was so far away, there's no way in fucking hell they could hear what the hell Zuko is shouting. Yeah. Like, if anything, you just see Zuko going like this. Yeah. Like, I'm gesturing with my hands waving.
Yeah.
It's just like, what is he saying? Yeah.
And yet Aang looked up in shock when Zuko yelled, I'm not want you to hurt the Avatar anymore.
Yeah.
I'm willing to overlook these convenient things.
Yeah. I just went to the Combustion Man's wiki page. He's 7'2", according to this.
That's really funny to me. Fucking I don't know why.
Jeez.
It was in good the jeans. Beach commentary.
Wow, he could have been a professional basketball player, but instead he decided to commit hubris.
He chose violence every day.
He chose violence.
The arrogance gets
you. He chose to experiment on himself.
Yeah.
Good for him.
Good for him.
You know what I...
Follow
your dreams. In that whole scene, Zuko... Oh my god, wait, no. Sokka's like, you heard Combustion Man? And then Zuko's like, that's not his name. And we're like, okay. And?
No, Never have I agreed more with Sokka's sassiness than in that moment. I'm just like, great, I'll make a fucking note of it.
That's like part, one of the things I love so much about this is like you already kind of knew that Zuko's like a mess of a human, but he is so awkward.
Yeah.
This whole episode, everything he does. And I was like, it's partially relatable, and then partially you're just like, please stop.
Yeah. Oh my god. Can I just, is there like anything more relatable than losing an imaginary conversation? I do that every single day.
Oh my god. I mean, I do the thing where I don't think of like the good response or like the cool response or the witty response until like 2 hours later.
Mm-hmm.
And that's definitely my brother's fault because he's like witty as shit. And I like, my brain just could not compute and keep up with him. But like, yeah, this is the episode too. Like, again, I feel like the entire show, I have like been very open about my like complete indifference to Zuko. And it's like, I feel like they, for me at least, as like a very basic person in this way, like I didn't like Zuko because he was a bad guy. And I'm like, he's a good guy now. I like him. And like, they do a very good job for me of like turning him around in one episode.
Yeah. You know, last episode I was like, you know, Zuko had better bring it. And he did. He was so like.
Adorkable.
Yes. That word.
Yeah.
Gabby's making a face like, honestly, no. Though,
I feel like it wasn't all Zuko because it was fucking Toph.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because Toph was the one who really was backing him up to be like, he was sincere in it. Mm-hmm. And then I think Zuko, I think it was like the last like straw with dealing with Confession Man that really pushed it over the edge. Because I think if it wasn't for Toph being like, no, I think he's being sincere, they would have been stuck in their whole like, no, he's a bad person because up until this point, you've been chasing us to murder us.
Yeah.
And we confirmed that you sent an assassin after us. So why would we
believe? And I feel like even then, Toph like also didn't even care that he was like good or bad. Toph was like, he told the truth and we need him. Like, this is a cut and dry thing. Mm-hmm. And I feel like the other big contributor was definitely like Appa.
Mm-hmm.
Like Aang.
Yes, that's true.
Like Aang saw Appa like respond to him well, and Aang immediately like got quiet and like contemplative and whatever.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And like Appa's a good egg, obviously. The best egg.
Mm-hmm.
Dare I say it.
Yes, I did like Aang immediately noticing, making that micro expression change when he saw Appa lick Zuko. I meant that Zuko brought it in terms of like making me fond of him.
Yes, but... for sure. You know, Zuko brought nothing to the table.
Zuko brought nothing to the gang.
Yes, to their table.
He didn't bring our table. Practical.
Oh my god.
Yeah. Our table and the gang's table are very different.
One thing that did, like, because I felt like the whole time the gang's reactions to him were completely understandable.
Yes. Yeah.
Like, of course you're not going to just trust this guy. But the one thing that did bother me was when Toph went and snuck up on him in the middle of the night.
Yeah.
And then he burned her feet.
I hated that.
Because he's alone and vulnerable in the middle of the fucking woods.
Yeah.
And then he, you know, I understand her running away immediately because, like, you know, he just burnt her, like, whatever. But then when she's explaining what happened, she's like, yeah, it was an accident, but, like, yeah, he burned me. And then they're like, all right, that's it. He's got to go. He's done.
Yeah.
So I was like, she literally just said it was an accident. And I was like, also, Toph, you should probably tell them that you snuck up on him while he was sleeping.
Right. That's true.
Yeah.
She didn't frame that story very favorably.
For sure. And like, she should have been able to have sensed that, like, it's like he was laying down. I forget if he was like asleep or not already, and she scared him awake. But it's just like, either like his heart rate was probably slower, he like did not, you know, does not have the senses she has, and like she would have done the same thing. So like, yeah, I did feel bad for him. I really loved too, speaking of, Nicole mentioned like a microaggression, or like not a microaggression, just a micro expression. A micro expression. I really loved like Zuko's like acting when they rejected him, because he had this moment where he looked like he was gonna cry, and then he like got angry, and like I loved that so much.
I liked how Zuko, I mean all of them in this episode had a lot of micro expressions that I really liked during conversation flows. In the moment you're talking about, I liked how Zuko's little like shocked heartbroken moment happened, like, when Aang also was like, no, you've gone too far. Like,
yeah.
Because he was keeping it together through the rest of them yelling at him. But it was like, once again, like, Zuko has always sort of pinned all his hopes on the Avatar.
Yeah.
And so when Aang, who Zuko was like, well, he'll give me a chance. I mean, he's the Avatar. Like,
yeah. He has and he's before. Like, he said we could be friends.
Always been,
yeah.
He's always been like that. Then when Aang was like, no, he was like, what? Yeah. Oh my God. Zuko was like so sad when they were rejecting him. And I was like, Zuko, like, they're playing sad music. I was like, it's like one of those things where like, it's kind of sad, but also like, you brought all of this on yourself.
Like, yeah. I feel like I had to keep reminding me of the thing one of us said, one of you guys said like a while ago, and we bring it up a lot where it's like, I had to keep reminding myself that, like, they don't see everything that we've seen of him.
Right.
Where it's like, yeah, they have, like, this really great debate and discussion, and, like, none of their points are really, like, you can't really argue with any of their concerns and everything. And it's just like, yeah, like, they only have all these horrible memories, and, like, they didn't, and, like, they, you know, Katara even says, like, she got a sense that he was confused and he was struggling, and then Toph defends him, and Toph's like, he has a really fucked up family, and they're like, cool. Like, that doesn't excuse him from being an asshole, which is totally, mm-hmm. again, like, yeah, it's totally valid, but, like, none of them saw what we saw. Like, and it's so interesting, like, when you're as the audience, like, you know, you're that much more informed than, like, the characters.
They just don't know him, like,
yeah, like, actually.
That's just how it is.
Oh, my God. Yeah, and I really even, I like that they brought, like, Toph brought that up, too, about his family.
Mm-hmm.
Where it's, like, one step short of being, like, look, he's, like, definitely, like, got some kind of trauma going on. And, like, I mean, that's basically what she said. But, like, yeah, it doesn't excuse somebody from taking it out on people.
Right.
I was almost expecting them, when she was, like, he could have turned out worse. Like, just look at Azula. Like, I was expecting that follow-up, and it didn't happen.
Yeah. I think that was another, like, snarky Water Tribe kid moment where Katara was just, like, great, we'll give him a fucking medal. Like,
yeah.
Like, they are not having it, and I do not blame them, obviously, because he's like the embodiment of a lot of their trauma.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like, you know, Azula was the main villain last season, but like, he was the one who came to their tribe and like did a bunch of shit, and Yue died mm-hmm. like under his watch and whatever, and like Toph's just like, oh yeah, he was like not a threat to me at all, like,
yeah,
like Azula was the threat, he was just this like weird extra person who sometimes showed up, like, he's like, I don't even really know who he is.
I feel like she only saw him in like one episode in all of season two, like the chase.
And it's like after uncle, like after she learned about him through this nice man who she befriended,
and then they fought with him against Azula.
So she's just like, I don't see what the big deal is, guys, and they're just like, this place.
Let's list all our season one grievances, of which there are many. An apology is not enough, Zuko. You can't just come in and be like, yeah, I'm really sorry. And they're like, great. That doesn't fix any of the fucking towns you burned down while you were chasing us, Zuko. Like,
no, Zuzu.
I do love that they, like, came with the receipts and, like, said literally every bad thing he'd ever done to them. But I also like that when he was practicing his speech, he was like, oh yeah, I should probably apologize for that. I'm like, fucking duh, are you just realizing? Oh God.
Yes,
he's
he
like,
is.
I hope it was like the third draft of your apology and not like the 10th.
I didn't think about apologizing for it because at the time I didn't think I was doing anything wrong, but I can see now that I was.
Yeah, what was it he was saying? He's like, I thought I was the good guy, but I wasn't a good guy. Now I'm a good guy.
I wrote it down because I love it. You wrote, I'm good now. I mean, I thought I was good before, but now I realize I was bad.
Right, this is like the opposite of Wreck-It Ralph. Like,
he's so bad at being good. I hated that line.
Zuko's not bad, he was just drawn that way.
He was actually literally drawn that way. When I was listening to that interview and they were like, oh yeah, well, we need to have a villain who's actively after them, like another kid, like with a scar. And I was like, oh man, look at this coding.
Let me tell you, I am so over Disfiguration as like coding for evil. And like, this is not quite a spoiler, but like I recently saw Black Widow and like, I was just like, fuck it, another one, like seriously. So fucking annoying.
Yeah. I feel like at least they kind of subvert it here.
Oh, for sure. I was going to say, like, to their credit, this is like the
this
one time
like not,
where it's so much deeper
more than that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah,
where they like lampshaded it, or if that's the right word, where they set up the expectation. We all know this pattern. He has a scar. He's evil. And then they were like, no.
Yeah. Trauma, bitch.
Yeah. It's like, it's not like his name is Scar and he is like an evil lion.
But then canonically, Scar's name before he was scarred was Taka, which is Swahili for trash. And I'm just like, damn, your parents hated you.
Oh my god. Trash. Oh my god.
That's like too, like, I get like why they do things like that. Like they're probably like, aha, it's funny. But at the same time, I'm like, that doesn't make any fucking sense.
No, I hate that
no
shit.
No one would name their child that.
Yeah.
Just like no one would name a lake Prison Lake unless
they were white.
Unless they knew that there was a prison under that lake.
They'll never know.
They'll never
this
know.
This entirely Chinese-based society will never figure it out.
Oh, man. Oh, Abby, you got interrupted forever ago. Please tell us about the Badger Frog.
About Animal Crossing?
Sorry, I mean,
Animal Facts?
No, she just started to talk and then we started like...
So, the Badger Frog is a furry hopping animal that's indigenous to the Western Fire Nation. At first glance, the Badger Frog seems harmless, but if cornered by a predator, it will defend itself by hopping, clawing, and biting angrily. The Badger Frog is a combination of the badger and the bullfrog. And fun fact, the badger frog croaks every 2 minutes.
I'm like, what is that, a medical condition?
All right.
No, because that's, like, in like two episodes, doesn't Zuko assign Aang to do a hot squat every time a badger frog croaks or something?
He literally does. He does.
Oh my god, that's really funny.
Oh my god.
That's so funny. But this is the only episode where it appears. So it just must be everywhere.
I could not figure out what that was a hybrid of, so badger. Got
badger.
It.
Badger,
why badger,
badger?
There's no badger.
Yeah, it doesn't
features.
Look like a badger. It's like brown. Like, I feel like badgers are like more gray and black and white.
Yeah, basically just like a toad slash bullfrog.
I thought it was like
a
wolverine, maybe, but it was still like just an ugly,
I guess,
hairy
it has
frog.
Like the markings, the stripes. Yeah.
I don't get it.
I'm like looking at pictures of badgers.
I have to just look at a picture of this thing. Badger frog. Yeah, I feel like we're not gonna get too many.
There's like brownish badgers also.
Oh god, it Google searched, it corrected to budget frog, and like the pictures when you Google budget frog
I'm like concerned. I'm gonna do it. One word, two words,
budget separated, and then frog are like just this very strange this very strange species of frog that doesn't look real. But it's real. There's literally a budget's frog.
Oh my god.
Oh my gosh.
Wow, that's so funny.
Its scientific name sounds like a spell.
Oh my god, you're right. Lepido.
Lepidobatrachus laevis.
Swish and flick. You're one.
Swish.
When you say that.
Flick. Oh my gosh. Welp, the more you know.
It's kind of funny looking and almost cute in an ugly way.
I feel like this budget frog looks like Naruto's frog wallet, and if it's called a budget frog, that makes suddenly more sense than I thought it did.
Is that like a deep cut Easter egg
that we've just uncovered?
Possibly. You heard it here.
You heard
first,
it here,
folks. But yeah, I feel like I didn't get like mad at anybody this episode, but like I got a little miffed at the beginning when like Aang wanted to explore the temple and they were like, we need to strategize, and I was just like, no, you guys need like a break.
He was like, why can't I go?
Let him have a break. Recognize like the milestone for what this is and the sensitivity for what it is. Like, you know no matter what your plan is, it's not gonna happen like anytime soon.
Mm-hmm.
So like, let the boy go on a tour, god damn it.
Yeah, like I totally agree. Because I feel like you can tell Aang was just trying to avoid his problems.
Yeah.
But also, like, fair.
Yeah, like, let him for, like, a day.
They literally just, like, lost a battle, and then they, like, walked across, like, the entire, like, Western Fire Nation, I guess, trying to get to this temple.
Yeah.
Like, take a day.
Take
a break.
A day.
That's what I'm confused about. Like, how... Okay, so I guess the next timeline thing that they're aiming for mm-hmm. is the comet.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Got it. So it wasn't as urgent. I was like, for a second, I was siding with everybody else, just being like, mm-hmm. this is urgent. But I didn't realize that it's actually not that urgent.
I mean, it still so, is.
Take a day.
He still has to, they have to find a firebending teacher, learn firebending well enough to defeat the Fire Lord at the comet, like, before the comet.
Yeah, when he's, like, souped up, yeah. And I feel like I would understand if maybe Sokka had been thinking, like, oh, you know what, like, we went on the retreat, like, maybe if we snuck in, like, right again when they're, like, they least suspect it with, like, a really small, like, ops, like, special ops team and, like, try to, like, assassinate him or something. Like, then it's like, yes, like, you have a very timely plan, but then they were literally like, our plan should be, like, the long-term plan. So then it's like, cool, then just fucking let him, like, go explore his culture again, guys. It's not a big deal. Because it's I feel like their options were either, like, yeah, to, like, strike back immediately or, like, yeah, like, regroup and, like, start with a new plan. And, like, yeah, I don't remember how much time there is between, like, now and the comet.
There's 6 days, there. Remember? No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, I was like, damn, girl, no.
I don't know. That's
Sorry, you go, Steph.
No, I was just saying, that's why I've always said I want, like, a timeline. Like, I need to know. I need to know how much time.
Because, like, can you really afford to, like, fuck around?
I mean, I did think they were maybe trying to get ahead of, like, Aang once again. Like, his default coping mechanism is always just running away.
Right.
I mean, to Nicole's point about, like, this, 6 days, like, you know, referring to, like, the insane air release schedule of the second half of the season on, like, Nickelodeon when the show first aired. It, like, kills me because it's, like, this is, like, obviously this season is 20 episodes.
Be like, this is the best part of the entire show, this second half of season 3. And you're fucking blowing through it. You're speed running it.
It kills me because it's like, this is episode 12, and like, obviously the last episode, yeah, like 10 and 11 were a two-parter, and like, I would argue, you know, that was like the end of the, you know, the first half of the season, and now this is like the second half, you know, of the final season, and it's like, it's just all downhill, because again, it's like the best chunk of stuff, but it like kills me how quick it was just looking through the episodes, and it's like, oh, like, you know, there's like the Aang side quest and the Sokka side quest and the Katara side quest, and then the show's over, like, you know, and like Emperor Island players, and then it's over, that's it, like, and obviously the ending is a four-parter, but still, like,
yeah,
I don't know, it's so fast,
and there's no Toph side quest because Toph still doesn't qualify for vacation time.
Bullshit. And I get
this is so fucked up.
It's so annoying because I'm like, I understand, like, she's like the least, like, not problematic, like the least, like the one with the least Tom amount does of not problems. Have
pre-existing issues with Zuko that she needs to work out.
Yes, it's
like, he kind of like works through all the issues that he has with each of them, and then I'm like, it would be great to watch an episode of him and Toph together because it would just be like so chaotic.
Yeah, but
they don't have to resolve anything.
It like would literally be the blind leading the blind, and I would pay good money to see that.
They have one eye between the two of them.
Oh my god, it's so true.
It's so true. That'd be so funny. That's what I'm saying. I'm like, why? Like, guys, this was the... It's like what we always say, where it's like some of our favorite episodes of, like, shows a lot of the time are, like, the episodes in between the big fights.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, this is, like, that prime, like, area.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, even... This is, like... Like, when she was defending him, sort of, not really defending him, but just, you know, generally just, like, arguing on the behalf of, the on the side of adding him as a teacher.
Yeah, like, the practicality of having him.
Yeah.
I thought it was interesting that, like, the first thing she brought up was his family and how he was raised, partially for, like, oh, that could be a reason. But also, I was like, of course that's what Toph thinks of first, because in Toph's, you know, own understanding of the world and everything, it's like she has issues with her family and how she was raised, so of course she's gonna notice the parallels, like they're both noble elites, and everyone else isn't necessarily gonna be like, oh yeah, that could really fuck someone up, because they don't have this thing that Toph feels that she and Zuko might have in common, where like she is very intimately acquainted with wanting to change your identity from the one that your family has sort of thrust upon you. And the rest of them are like, they have certain levels of that, but it's not the same as far as Toph sees it, for sure.
They didn't have a chance to have, like, relationships with their parents enough to, like, resent them.
Like, they had roles that they thought they had to play, and maybe they didn't like the stress of it and stuff, but it wasn't, like, this specific thing.
Oh, yeah, because then obviously, like, they're, you know, obviously Katara did resent her dad a bit, but, like, the circumstances were totally outside the normal parent-child relationship.
Yeah.
And then and arguably, thing. so were Toph and Zuko and their families, but... I feel like that's just, like, the difference, like, I don't know. It's, like, how I feel like we can't identify with, like, those, like, super rich, like, I don't know, those families that are, like that in our society, where we're just, like, oh, it must be so hard for you, like, with your trust fund, you know?
Mm.
And it's, like, those people do have problems, too. They're just, like, different, you know, problems. Different.
Yeah. And I'm, like, and, you know, foreshadow report. This is exactly what Toph tries to bond with Zuko on. In the finale.
Oh, true.
She's literally, like, trying to talk to him about all her issues with her parents.
Oh, I forgot. That's true. It's, like, two socially inept socialites. Just like, so you got a fucked up family too, huh? And he's just like, get away from me.
He's like, I'm kind of busy. Can you focus?
She's like, is this not how you make friends?
Is trauma bonding a red flag in real life? Like, the moment someone starts opening up to me about that stuff, especially if, like, I just met them, I was like, I'm gonna back off a little bit.
Oh my God.
A little
too much. A timing issue, I think.
Yeah.
Red flag.
I feel like it can be used to, like, cut the tension in, like, a kind of a shallow way where, like, I remember, like, meeting somebody who made a joke about having a dead. And then in high school, I did have a boyfriend who had passed away. And so I, like, made a joke, you know, I was just like, oh yeah, like, mine died too. Like, how did yours die? And then I, like, completely freaked this person out. But I'm like, if that person had been serious, that's, like, one of those, like, dark humor things that I feel like we would have bonded over. You know, where it's like you kind of develop that kind of darker sense of humor with bad stuff. And I feel like that's almost similar to, like, what Nicola said in the past about, like, people with disabilities, like, making, you know, finding, like, the dark humor in that, where it's like, I think if it's, like, that kind of thing, where, and then, like, you don't get any deeper than that, like, then it's, like, less of a red flag in my experience versus someone who's like, let's talk about it. And then it's like, no, the joke was a defense mechanism. We joked about it and now it's done. Like, now we change the subject.
I'm like, I don't know. I feel like if you just meet someone and they start laying it all out, I'm like, this is not the kind of person that I want to be dealing with. Like, you don't have any sort of threshold for, like, knowing when it's appropriate to share.
Yeah, right.
It's true. It's so true.
As long as we're on this topic, conversations are still real if you don't start crying about stuff. Okay. I just, you know, I had someone once be like, Nicole, you've never talked to me. We've never had a real conversation. And I was like, what the fuck are you talking about? I talked to you. I've known you for, like, 3 years. And they're like, no, but we've never had, like, a real conversation. And I was like, what? What?
Yeah. That's why, like, I kind of hate the idea that, like, small talk is, like, inherently horrible and that people who do it are, like, shallow. And I'm like, no, but that's just how you talk to people that you don't fucking know well. Like, I don't know. And I'm like, also, when you're an adult and you're working, like, nothing interesting happens in your life. Like, every time I see people after a while, they're like, so how have you been? And I'm like, you know, I do literally the same thing every fucking day. And then the same thing the next week after that. Like, I don't know what you want me to say. Yeah. So, yeah, then we have to talk about the weather.
Right.
Like, I feel like it's like, if something different happens and I'm excited enough and I like you enough, you will find out.
Right.
Like, I will tell you about my trip to XYZ. But if I didn't come to you, take a hint. Like, take a little bit.
Take a hint.
The folks that you want to take a hint can't. And they're also sometimes the ones who just lay it all out there. Like, my whole life story with my traumas. It's just so funny.
I mean, for me, it's funny because this had me thinking, like, where it's like, oh, I feel like the very, like, heteronormative, stereotypical thing is, like, men are emotionally unavailable. And then there's, like, the extreme opposite. And you're like, I don't want that either.
It's so true. Oh, it's true.
You're like, I wanted this, but this is a little too much.
I wanted it, but not this way.
Not like this.
Yes.
Yeah, in that's summation, the thing.
I need to see the little moments when Zuko yeah. joins, like the reality TV moments of like when they're cooking and then they're all forced to talk to each other. You don't have to talk, but I know someone's going to try to do it in
that's
order to
like. That's
what's
so annoying. I want that like quote filler shit. That's the shit I'm after. I want yes. like, you know, when Sokka yes. brought him to the room and he's like, oh, here's your room. You know, we're going to have a lunch dude. I'm like, yeah. yes, just leave the camera on for like another 2 hours and just leave me alone.
I need that too.
Like, oh, I want to see Zuko put his, like, unpack his little bag and then, like, slowly wander out of the room after Katara threatens him and, like, go sit at the table.
And, like, awkwardly wait to be served lunch, like, by a bunch of people who fucking hate him. Like,
I want to see it.
That's a reality show I need. I need this.
Zuko was like, oh, great, we're friends now. And they were like, we're not fucking friends. We yeah. said you could be our firebending teacher, not that you were going to join our goddamn friend group, Zuko.
Like, I love that he was like, I promise I won't let you down. And they all just walked away. Like, nobody yeah. even, like, looked at him. And Sokka even, like, picked Toph up and was like, no. Like,
I did love her Katara's like shovel talk. Just like, oh yeah, lay one fucking finger on this precious little boy, I will kill you, and you don't know what I can do yet. You will find out soon.
I also liked when she was like, but she worded it like, if you make one slip up, and meanwhile Zuko has already messed up like 3 times this morning. He's like, all I do is make mistakes. Oh God.
Yeah.
Oh, I just God. Love it because I'm like jumping ahead, but like his face when she bloodbends.
Oh my God, it's so
it's
funny.
Like my favorite.
He's like, how you the know, fuck like, am I still alive?
Yeah, it's like that. What's that? It's like a Vine or TikTok, whatever, you know, where it's like, oh shit, oh fuck, I could have died. I could have died. She could have killed me. Yeah. Like, I should be dead.
I should have died 100 times by now.
It's also just nice seeing her, like, kind of, not selfish, but, like, different. I don't know. Like, angry and not, like, being qualifying about yeah, it or whatever.
There's a perception of Katara as, like, you know, she's very nurturing. She's very, quote-unquote, motherly.
Yeah.
She's, you know, Toph's nickname for her is sweetness. But, like, mm-hmm. she, that's not all she is. Yeah. And it's true that she also has the most, you know, she has the most, like, reason to distrust Zuko at this point because she trusted him for no reason before.
She offered the fucking sacred water, this dumb bitch!
I'm still mad about that.
The full 3 drops.
They're all ready. Yours for a scar that happened 20 years ago.
Oh my God.
But yeah, she's like, no, listen to me, Zuko. I'm gonna effing kill you. Like,
you could argue too that that's a bit, that's like a very mama bear type thing.
Yeah.
She was like, yeah. Aang can't know that I'm about to threaten to murder this boy because yeah. I'm gonna mean it.
Like, yeah.
Yeah, it could be like an extension so of her overprotectiveness, I guess, if you want to look yeah. at it that way. But it's also just yeah. like, she doesn't trust him and she has no reason to trust him.
Yeah.
He crossed yeah. me and I don't take prisoners.
Yeah.
Sokka and Toph are like, yeah, let's take him prisoner. And Katara's like, no, bitch, I'm killing him.
Mm-hmm. Oh my God.
I mean, it's, I don't blame her because it's like, yeah, like no. from her point of view, you know, she took a big leap of faith with him in the caves. Because again, like, he had done like nothing that she ever saw that justified her like extending that olive branch yep. to him. And then it was like exactly what we just said. It was like they got really deep really fast. And look where it got her.
Red flag, people.
Look where it got her.
She trusted Zuko and got burned. Literally.
Literally.
I'm just like with like channeling Iroh where it's like destiny is a funny thing. You never know how it's going to work. And I'm like, isn't that the fucking truth?
Yeah.
Yeah. I liked that quote, but I didn't like that quote.
I liked the second half. I don't like the idea of destiny. But I like that, like, the idea of, like, things that work out for you often happen in a way that you don't expect them to.
Yeah.
Kind of thing.
I liked how, at the beginning, when Zuko was having the first half of that flashback, he was, like, pinching the bridge of his nose, like, God, I'm so embarrassed by myself, by my own 13-year-old self. Which is relatable as hell.
Yeah.
Been there. And then, like, also later... when he got the second half of the flashback and he was like, kind of smiling because at first he was just having this like shame of at himself about like, you know, how he was dismissive of Uncle, how he was so blind and only focused on this thing that he now knows was the wrong goal, and how he was, you know, and he was just angry at everything. And
oh, he was half blind.
He was half blind. That's true.
Sorry for destroying your train of thought.
But then at the end he's sort of smiling because he's thinking like, well, now though, I am finally on that path that I was supposed to be on, that Uncle sent me on. It took me like 3 years, but I got here. And I was like, that's nice. But yeah, I liked the embarrassment at his own past self. By the way, it's not necessarily relevant to this episode at all, but it's vaguely connected to this conversation. I keep on thinking, you know how we talk about, you know, like May, and how the reason we hate her is just because she's basically what we were like when we were 13. I'm like, you know what? Yes. I bet May somewhere now, like 30-year-old May, looks back on that and is like, oh my God, I cannot believe I was like that.
My Hot Topic phase. No. She finds all of the old pictures of her with like the fucking like MySpace angle. And she's like, kill me.
Oh my God. I did write down in my notes like, Zuko is relatable AF. I also vividly remember everything cringy and terrible I've ever said and hate myself a little bit about it.
Yes. Mm-hmm. He was just so relatable this episode.
Yeah.
Which says more about me than it does about him.
He's in like that phase where he like feels like his uncle is like an idiot and he's just like, I know more than this person. And then he's gonna like get to a point where he's like, oh no, I'm an idiot, and that's now. And then I'm like, just when you're a little bit older, you're gonna get to a point where you're back to like, my parents might be kind of dumb actually. Like, don't worry Zuko, it comes around again. Or it's less that they're dumb, but it's more just like, oh, like, okay, no, like
right now, while they're separated, Zuko was like, Uncle was right the whole time and he's so wise and I should have listened to him. I can't believe I never listened to him. And then in like a little bit when everything's all hunky-dory and they've saved the world and he's hanging out with Uncle again, he's gonna watch Uncle like, you know, nearly kill himself trying to drink some tea. And he's gonna be like, no, no, that's right. I forgot about this part.
Yeah. It's just like, it's both. It's forever both. Oh, man. But, I feel like one of the big differences in this episode from, like, me watching as a kid versus now was I was a lot more upset at, like, I was upset when Combustion Man was, like, destroying the temple.
Mm.
But, like, I was, like, more upset as an adult.
Yeah. Once again, like, the goddamn air temples are getting destroyed, even though...
Yeah, just, like, no, hey, stop going to them.
There anymore.
Yeah. I was, yeah, I, like, kind of got, like, frustrated at the gang because I was, like, I totally get the choice, but you know everywhere you go brings destruction.
Yeah.
And, like,
you think it's bad now. Yeah. You think it's bad now, just wait a few episodes.
Oh, I know. It makes me so sad.
But doesn't they like fix this one up, don't they? Or is it
At least I know in Korra they like fix all of them, get restored.
Okay.
And then one of them gets destroyed, but like completely. But whatever. That's in the future. And that also hurts me. Yeah, I don't know. Does anybody else have anything about this episode?
I want to say that I completely forgot that Zuko literally says every single thing that we've been talking about this whole time. About honor, about, like, it means this, but then you have to, like, do it yourself. And basically, like, he was basically saying, like, word for word, like, everything that we have talked about in past episodes. Like, everything I said back in the goddamn end of season 2, I was like...
I'm glad he really took our podcast to heart.
I was like, Zuko, have you been listening to us?
So loyal. Thanks, Zuko, for listening.
Oh my God.
I was a little bit like, the petty side of me was mad that Haru didn't help in the fight. Because I'm like, bitch, you're an earthbender. You could have helped out. But I wasn't going to overly question it.
Haru barely knows how to juggle pebbles, Jen.
Like, the cynical part of me was just like, bitch, you were hiding the whole time. And then the other part of me is like, okay, well, he could have been, like, helping make sure Teo was safe. Because, like, obviously he was not in a wheelchair-friendly environment. Two, like, he...
The Duke is, like, you know, 6 years old.
Yeah, that too. And then I was also like, oh, also Haru, you know, he, like, was, like, a baby bender before, and then he was in prison, and, like, I don't really remember how much he, like, bent during the fight, but I'm still like, eh, he's, like, not, like, he's not used to, like, actual combat. And then also mm-hmm. it's like, you know, obviously this episode, like, the people were like, okay, we have these other kids that we have to track. So then the easiest thing to do is to just send them away constantly. And I don't fault them for that at all.
Oh, yeah. I liked how obvious it was every time they were getting them off the screen. It was so
and
blatant.
And I totally get it. Because it's like, narratively, it makes sense that they escape with more people. But emotionally, we cannot keep track of, like, 8 people.
No.
But it was like, yeah. So I'm like, Haru, what are you doing? But also, like, no. It's, like, not an actual criticism.
Yo, I literally forgot Haru's name. I didn't bother to look it up, but I was rewatching the episode right before we started recording, and I came in here thinking his name was Han.
Oh, no! That's, like,
justice for Han!
That's Yue's gross, like, betrothed.
Oh!
He's from
so
Final Fantasy. Not Final Fantasy. He's from Fast and the Furious.
He
you know, the other very popular Asian-centric series, not really.
There's Asian Fast stuff in Fast and the Furious?
Well, no, like, Han was a big, yeah, he was a big
Tokyo
part
Drift.
Of the third film, which took place in Japan.
Huh. I've never watched a single one of those movies, so.
I also watched the most recent one, but there is a spoiler.
I know Han's back, but I don't know beyond that. I don't know what the truth is.
I don't know what you're okay, talking yeah. about. Han's not
he
back.
Is back.
Zhao murdered
very
him
excited.
Very easily. And Zhao, if Zhao can kill you, that says more about you than Zhao.
Like, did you even deserve to be alive in the first place? Just kidding. That was dark, sorry.
Damn.
Zhao got murdered by a fucking fish. So.
Yo, what a way to go. And he's still getting murdered in the spirit world.
We'd love to see it.
I was, yeah. Anything else anybody wants to say?
I mean, nope. You know. I feel like I just had random notes that were things like, you know, bouncing off my thing where Zuko was like, I'm so glad you've accepted me into the group. And Aang was like, not so fast. And I was like, that's so funny because I can't believe you thought they were going to be friends with them right away. But also then Aang went like, well, you know, this is a democracy. Like, just because I'm the Avatar and the most powerful person here doesn't mean that I can just unilaterally decide things.
Even though, like, half the time, that's exactly what happens.
I know, right? He was like, this affects everyone, so they all get a say. And meanwhile, Zuko was sitting there like, what? That doesn't compute? I've literally never heard of this concept before in my entire life. Like,
can you say that word again? Can you spell it? Democracy?
What is that?
I think my dad said one time that was just called being a bitch.
Like. He's like, I tried to state my opinion one time when I was about your age, and I got my face burned off.
Oh my god.
Where is the lie? Oh, poor Zuzu. Well, speaking of him, did my ears deceive me in this episode? Or did our honor count, y'all?
It went
y'all?
Up by 3.
No, it went
and
up
I was
a lot.
Mad because how dare you, Zuko? I was really banking 3. On 9 and you already bumped us to 11.
11 is what I said, so I'm hoping we hold the line, but I'm like, there's gotta be like one more. Like,
I feel like there has to be at least one more. Yeah, because this whole arc for moving forward is, like, restoring the honors. Like,
but then I was like, he already, like, confronted his dad and, like, when he left. But that, like, time will tell. But, like, fuck, 3 times? Unbelievable. Yeah. Unbelievable.
This was crazy.
I, like, verbally reacted the second and third time. I was like, what? Nicole.
Oh no, I was gonna say some bullshit like, oh well, technically, rather than being about the honor, now it's about, you know, restoring balance, because he's kind of already got the honor because it's, you know, it's something you earn for yourself by choosing to do what's right. But then I was like, I shouldn't say that, that's pretentious. Even though it's literally what Zuko said.
I was like, even if it's the truth. Yeah, so our honor count went up by 3.
Crazy.
We're 11. In double digits now. We're at 11.
I honestly did not think we were going to get to double digits. I really thought we were going to cap at 9.
Yeah. So Nicole's out of the running. I'm at 11. That's where I thought we were going to be at, but I think I'm going to lose too. And then I don't know if...
Where did we record our guesses?
I don't know
guesses.
If we ever
that,
officially
like, episodes
did
one?
Or not so much as,
I don't
like,
know.
We vaguely had hunches.
I don't think I ever even threw a number out.
Yeah.
I don't remember. And I feel like if I threw one out now, it's like kind of not fair, because I know where... Yeah.
Do you
I
think
agree.
It's going to go up again or not?
I think it'll go up maybe once more, maybe.
Yeah, I vaguely remember thinking maybe around 15. It has to be somewhere. We've talked about it.
I have no idea.
Why would we count something and then not, like, give some sort of baseline for the end?
I think, because it's, again, I think this was, like, the the fan perception was incredibly warped. Like, I thought we were going to keep joking right. about it, but then we'd go for these massive stretches of yeah, nothing. Like, and then that, again, that became the joke, was like, wow, this was so overhyped.
Right, right.
We're like, yeah, I feel like at the beginning of the show, if we had done a guess at the start, we would have guessed like 30, or I don't fucking know.
Yeah,
again,
like,
in my brain, it just yeah. was like, yeah, like he says it like every other episode, right? But like, that's not true at all.
No.
Yeah.
It's so funny. He was gone for like half yeah. season two. Like, he like did not appear. It's so funny.
I feel like sometimes that's like the danger of like fan fiction. Cause it's like you like people put, they like mm-hmm. extrapolate certain things from characters so much stronger. Or like they don't build more of a personality like around those little nuggets right. you get. And then they just hyper fixate on those things. And like, mm-hmm. yeah. And then you're just like, yeah, that's his whole thing is honor. Where it's like to the point where the voice actor, that's what he jokes about in the podcast. And we're just like, actually, when you rewatch this, you're going to learn. Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
Well, because Dante Bosco don't watch his own show.
Yeah, because he hasn't like seen it. But now he like will. And he'll be like, actually, I don't say it very often. It's like, yeah. Yeah, we learned that too. Oh, man. So then who was everybody's MVP? Man, I don't know who mine is.
I picked Zuko because I thought he was relatable. I was like trying to like come up with a speech ahead of time to yourself,
and then messing it up.
Even though you're only talking to yourself. Yeah, yeah.
That was like, so relatable.
Embarrassing yourself in front of a frog.
Yeah, totally relatable.
Yeah, mine was also Zuko for similar reasons. Not because he actually contributed anything to the gang, just because I was very fond of him in this episode. Yeah. Even though I also despaired of him every time that he was like, yeah, it'll totally work out. And I was like, you're a fucking idiot.
Oh, no. I feel like for the sake of something different, I feel like I wanted to go with, like, Sokka, because I felt like the boomerang was, like, clutch. Mm. Even though nobody took the opening it provided and, like, went in for the kill. But then it worked out anyway.
Combustion Man took the opening it provided and went in for the kill.
Yes, that's true. but also, again, like we were chatting earlier, like the very, like, grown-up debate that they were having, I felt like there was a lot of room for Sokka to, like, be annoying. But, like, it was a very serious conversation the whole episode. And I like that they did that. Like, there were moments I, like, noticed where I'm like, oh, there's a really long time where, like, there hasn't been a stupid joke to break up the, like,
right.
kind of, like, dialogue heaviness. And it was, like, cool. And I felt like a grown-up watching.
Yeah, I'm like, am I allowed to claim like half the episode is my favorite moment? Because I just loved all their serious conversations.
Yeah, so for me, even like thinking like a favorite moment, like did you guys have any particular or line, I guess?
Mine is stupid because there's so many good lines, so I wanted to just like pick something that was different, and I do love it anyway. But it's when Toph says she went to go see Zuko, and everybody's like, Zuko, and then Sokka just goes, it's like, what an appropriate like sound to make when you think of him.
Oh my god. Yeah. That so is such a good one.
There was a Toph moment where she's like, I guess I'm not the only blind one here, and I was like, shots fired.
Nicole, do you have one?
I mean, it's probably a cop out, but I was in seriousness. Yeah, all those freaking conversations.
No, that's totally valid. Yeah.
They were so good. And they were like everything that we've been talking about, and they're all just plagiarizing us. But, you know, even though this show came out like 15 years ago.
Yeah. I feel like for me, like I do the like, hello, Zuko here. Like way more God. Than I should in real life.
Yeah.
So a part of me is like probably that, or like the uncle impersonation are just like ones that I think about a lot.
That's true. There's so many lines in this episode. Like you said at the start of our episode, there's so many lines that I'll make sure your destiny ends right then and there permanently. Yeah.
Even like the Sokka scream. It's like, I know when I hear that sound, I'm like, that's from this episode.
You know, I'm not as much of a jerk as you could have been, Award.
Yeah.
I always remember that the one Sokka said, in a lifetime of being evil, at least he didn't add animal cruelty.
Yeah, that was so good. And they're like, why am I so bad at being good?
Yes! Oh my god, I love that one.
Oh my god.
That's the just like, smite me, mighty Smiter. Like, that's like him yelling at the thunder.
That should be, instead of the wiki summary, just be like, in this episode, Zuko is very bad at being good. Period. The end.
Yo, you're right. And then, like, you know, the one bit of actual unironic, you know, Iroh's line about the destiny and stuff. Again, like, for me, that like, those lines he says are also, like, super memorable. Mm-hmm.
Oh my god.
It's, like, so fucking much.
Yo, as long as we're listing things, apparently, and just extending our episode, when Zuko shows up to try to do his speech for realsies, and he's like, "You're probably surprised to see me here," and they're just like, "Not really." Like...
You've only been following us around. You've only been
following us, stalking us for the past goddamn 6 months, 6.5 months, however long it's been.
Yeah, I'm like, bitch, it's like, they've seen more of you in 6 months than, like, they ever fucking been to.
We're halfway through season three, so more like, you know, 7.5 months.
He was missing when they were in the Earth Kingdom. Maybe that doesn't count.
But even then, he was in their consciousness, right? When the dangerous ladies were chasing them, and they were like, "What is it?" And they were like, "Maybe it's Zuko."
That's true.
And then Toph's like, "The fuck is that?"
Toph was like, "Who's Zuko?" Oh my god, that's another one. Being like, she's like, "Who's, you know what? Forget it. If it's important, I'll find out."
I like that one too.
That was super relatable. Oh man, that's just like, you know what? If this is actually important, it'll circle back. It'll find its way back. And I do that with my inbox all the time. Oh god. Just like, you know what? They'll reply again if it's important. And then they do, and then it's still not important. Good times. All right, I think that's it. Right? Okay, good. Yay.
This has been Pod Sing Say, an Avatar The Last Airbender podcast. Join us next week where we will discuss Book 3, Chapter 13, The Firebending Masters. If you haven't already, please leave a ranking and subscribe to us on your favorite podcasting platform. Thank you all for listening, and talk to you again soon. Bye!